Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Before we begin this week's podcast, we'd like to talk about the events of the last couple of weeks. We stand unequivocally alongside the Black Lives Matter movement. The music we love as guitar enthusiasts was forged by black musical pioneers. There would not be any Guitar Nerds if it were not for the likes of Robert Johnson, Memphis Minnie, or Little Richard. It should be clear now that it's not enough to simply be non-racist. We must be actively anti-racist. We must take specific and coordinated steps to dismantle racism and prejudice where it lives, both at home and elsewhere, all the way to the highest seats of power. In the description of this week's podcast, you'll find links to some organisations that are making a real difference. We encourage you to donate if you can. We have taken the past week to reflect on our own privileges and our place within this industry, and to contemplate how we as guitar nerds could do better. It's clear that we've not been doing enough. So we're making a commitment to increasing representation and diversifying the range of voices that you will hear on the Guitar Nerds podcast. We will also be donating to and championing new charities every month and using this platform to raise up the voices of those marginalised within the guitar community and the wider world. Thank you for listening and for being a part of the Guitar Nerds community. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello there.
Jay Cross.
Hello there.
And Mark Packham.
Hello there.
Yes, that's right. And it is the 269th episode of the regular weekly edition of the Guitar Nerds podcast. So listener, thank you very much for joining us again this week. We're going to be talking about lots of new guitar things. I think Matt's got more pedals, Mark's making decisions on guitars, and Jay and me are going to talk a little bit about strings and stuff. But before we go any further, we should introduce our new patrons for this week. I'd like to introduce Glenn Manning, welcome, and Pontus Helm. I definitely pronounced that wrong, but I did my best, Pontus, so please... forgive me. And then we'd also like to introduce Alton Tower and
Alton Tower.
No, Alton Tower, yeah. And then there's Chessington Whirl as well. So
is that real?
So welcome. Yes. Well, there's another one. Also, we've had Thorpe Parr has upgraded.
What are you talking about?
No,
what?
I was just making those last three up. I was just trying to...
Alton Tower.
Are you just trying to catch us out now by saying things? And, you know, we know at the best of the time, but best of times we're not listening to you.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
The local... Well, the nearest theme park to me when I grew up was Pleasurewood Hills, and it was terrible.
Pleasurewood Hills. What sort of rides did you have there, Matt?
I'm just going on the website now. It says unfamiliar.
Can you get to that on the non-dark?
Oh, they
web?
Had the water factory. And okay. Roosters.
How much was
restaurant.
That? Did they charge you by the half hour or?
Yeah, every 15 minutes.
Right, I see. Okay, wonderful.
Oh, and also they had Woody's Clubhouse.
Nice. Nice.
Wow.
Pleasurewood Hills, this week's episode sponsor.
Pleasurewood Hills. You should go there if you live in that sort of weird rubbish end of the UK that you came from. Where was it? Ipswich?
It was in Lowestoft, actually.
Lowestoft, well,
which is still in Suffolk, but basically a million miles away.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, so this week, this is the announcement week of the winner of our Ashdown competition that we've been running over the last month. So listener, if you're not aware, over the last month, we teamed up with Ashdown to give you a chance. Two winners this time. It's a double victory. So one guitar winner.
What are you talking about? A double victory.
One guitar winner and one bass winner. So we were we're giving away an Ashdown Newt and an Ashdown Ant, which are both 200-watt pedal board style guitar amplifiers. So an amplifier that fits on your pedal board. 200-watt, you know, clean pedal board platform that you can use with any preamp or, you know, if you use Helix or DT-1000, it's the absolute perfect solution. And, of course, the Newt, the guitar version that we're giving away, because the Ant's for bass, Newt for guitar, the Newt is in a very lovely limited edition sort of green, metallic green. So very cool indeed. Anyway, so I'd ask people to enter. You had to either enter by telling me what guitar you played and tagging a bass player who you thought should also enter, or telling me what bass you played and tagging a guitarist that you think should also enter. So thank you everyone who's done that. I have spun the wheel twice. So, for example, if you
to make sure that you get the answer that you wanted,
the
is
person
that, why I spun it twice?
That you nominated for. Yes, exactly. But if you win the Newt, the person that you nominated to win the bass doesn't necessarily win the bass. If you understand, I'm rolling it twice. One wheel for guitar players and the Newt, and one wheel for bass players and the Ant. KMA Audio Machines' comprehensive range of premium effects pedals are extremely impressive, coupling some of the best-looking graphics and best-sounding circuits with some of the most original reimaginations of classic effects pedals that we've ever seen. From the wild and soaring high-gain distortion of the Worm to the classic ripping fuzz tones of the Fuzzly Bear, Minos and Dead Stag, the swirling phaser of the Astro Spurt, the treble to full-range Stockher treble booster, the synth octaves of the Moyai Mayer and the Queequeg, to the incomparably expansive wash of delays and verbs from the Cirrus and the uniquely controlled mid-accentuated drive of the incredibly dynamic Logan. The list is comprehensive, and every pedal offers something original and unique to KMA's penchant for extreme controllability. Available worldwide from leading guitar effects pedal dealers, and for more info, check out kma-machines.com. Introducing possibly the ultimate recording solution for guitarists everywhere, the Two Notes Captor X. Playing your tube amp in a great sounding room with an exceptional choice of perfectly matched speaker cabinet and microphones is truly joyous and an unparalleled experience. The Torpedo Captor X is for tube amp lovers who crave this every time they play, no matter the environment. Play your tube amp at its sweet spot and control your volume with the attenuator anywhere. You can even enjoy your 100-watt rig in silence with an immersive headphone experience. Fed up with lifting heavy cabinets, inconsistent sound and stage volume issues? Go direct to the PA and audio interface with studio-grade cabinet simulations. Wish to explore a legendary backline of speaker cabinets and microphones? Pair Torpedo Captor X with your phone, tablet or computer using Torpedo Remote. No other compact reactive load box offers such universal control of the miking chain. And with dual miking per cabinet, you may never need to use a real mic again. Check out the Two Notes Torpedo Captor X at 2-notes.com.
What you're saying is that whoever the name that comes up is the person that posted and not the person who was tagged.
Exactly.
The fact that they tagged someone was really only there to benefit us in promoting the competition,
exactly,
as opposed to giving them a chance to win anything.
Absolutely.
Oh, cool. Absolutely. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, but then they got tagged and they saw the competition, and then surely they then entered, so they get an equal chance to win.
Quite right. Yes.
That certainly is the case. Now, we've had over 1,000 entries to this, so
what?
this was the
How
bulk
many?
Of my day. Over 1,000 entries. So this was
1,000 people. Goodness me. Wow.
So yeah, this was really time consuming for me. Okay, so anyway, and also I had to find a sort of web device that was capable of me adding like 1,000 names, which was actually problematic. Well, actually, I didn't have to do that. I only had to add 500, but still, they all seemed to top out at like less than that. Anyway, so we're good. We found one. So we're going to spin the wheel twice. First of all, we're going to do guitars. First of all, the Newt winner. So people can enter on Facebook or Instagram. Who's it going to be? Did you enter? Well, now is the time to find out if you win. I'm spinning the wheel right now. And the wheel is, and it stopped. Okay, I need to find a better way of doing that, don't I? That's more entertaining on the podcast.
Well, yeah, probably not live. Do it beforehand.
Oh, do you want me to do it beforehand? But then people will doubt its legitimacy. I guess there's no way of
validating way of proving it anyway.
What I'm doing.
At least when we could hear the sound of the wheel spinning, there was some sort of air of legitimacy. I trust you to do it beforehand. Fine. For the sake of this podcast still being interesting.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I trust you to do it beforehand.
No, absolutely. Anyway, so it looks like the winner of this one is Toby Branton.
What?
My youngest brother. How about that? No, it's fine. That is not the name that's come up. I'm just working out how to pronounce this. Congratulations to Bilgisu Unalan. That is a terrible attempt at a pronunciation. I do apologize. Who entered on Facebook? Congratulations, Bilgisu. I'm not sure. It's a Turkish name. So congratulations on winning yourself an Ashdown Newt. Well done. I'm spinning the wheel again now for the ant. So this is the bass player victory. We'll see who it is. And we have a winner in James Michael Clark. That is another Facebook entry, which is amazing because most of the entries were on Instagram. So apologies to Instagram entries, but two Facebook victories this time around. James Michael Clark, you have won yourself the Ashdown Ant. And I hope... you're very happy with that. Very cool. James Michael Clark looks like he's, because of course I asked everyone to say what their guitar or bass was, has built himself a version of the Royal Blood Fender bass, the Jaguar bass, but with what looks like a pair of Music Man style pickups in there. So very cool. Very cool indeed. Well, congratulations to Bilgisu Unalan and to James Michael Clark. Both victorious in this week's competition. Oh, there we go.
Free stuff.
Yeah, free stuff. Well done. Congratulations. A few weeks break from the giveaway at the moment. It feels like we've been doing those for the best part of the year.
Yeah, we really have. Yeah, it's been a lot of free stuff to win through the Guitar Nerds podcast.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
I want to see the stuff in action. Like, has anyone actually sent us videos of things that they've won?
Yes, not videos. We had a wonderful photo of the pink giveaway.
Oh yeah.
So we've had some stuff from that from Rebecca By, whose baby was playing with the Ashdown cab and approving of the Ashdown cab's pinkness. So that was good. But yes, it would be good if you're a winner. Send us in some stuff. Let us see it in use. We would like to see it in use. That would be cool. Anyway, moving on, Mark Packham, let's talk about Epiphone Casinos, because when we last left you last week, you were in a bit of a quandary.
I'd had one delivered, I think, and had not had the other one delivered. So I'd managed it after months and months of searching, as documented on this podcast. I've been searching for an Epiphone Casino and wanted a Korean-built one because I'd heard that they were very, very good indeed. And I can confirm they are good. But apparently Epiphone casinos are like buses, as the saying goes. Been waiting ages for one, and then two nice ones come along at once. So I managed to kind of work a couple deals and get both of these guitars, not with the aim to keep them both, but with the aim to like see which one was better and keep one of them and then move the other one on. So they are both from different factories. There's one from 2004, I want to say, from the Peerless factory, which is the more kind of renowned factory. You know, it's the one that people that is kind of sought after and has the name. And then the second one was from 2009, Sunburst one. The other one was Natural. This one's Sunburst from the Unsung factory. Again, with, you know, pretty good, like Providence, I would say. You know, the factory's got a decent name for itself and known to make great guitars. Now, the thing that was shocking to me is just how different these two guitars are.
Oh, really?
Very, very different indeed. So, the one that arrived first was the Unsung one, the Sunburst one. And the way I would describe it is straight out of the box, played really nicely. I think it must have had a little bit of a setup, and I think I just changed the strings on it, and that's all it needed. And the thing I noticed straight away is very slim neck, 60s profile neck, not with a kind of definite, like, you know, flat, like stripe down the back, but definitely more down that 60s kind of profile, and very sort of aggressive sounding, which is weird because I'd heard actually casinos, although they've got P90s, particularly these Korean ones, apparently are a bit quite laid back. They've got low output pickups and they're generally not very aggressive. That wasn't my experience with this Unsung one at all, actually. It was very aggressive. And if you were looking to do kind of like more kind of punk stuff or even like rock stuff, it would have worked very, very nicely for that, I think. And build quality, absolutely fantastic. You know, like you can tell just, you know, very, very well put together. Not really any blemishes or anything like that in the finish. Anyway, so I got that one first. A couple of days after the podcast went out last week, I got the one from the Peerless factory, the Natural one. And straight out of the box, I was like, this doesn't seem right. Like, it's like the action's really high. It doesn't play very nicely. Like, I've heard that these guitars are supposed to be amazing. I'm just not really, like, into this. It feels a bit like, I don't know, it just felt a bit like shonky. Like, not, you know, particularly nice. And straight away I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll sell this one. And it is, you know, it's a Peerless one. So, you know, if I sell it, I'll get a bit more money for it because they're generally worth a bit more money. But then I was like, do you know what? I think actually the only problem here is the setup is just not very good. Had kind of quite a high action and just wasn't playing very nicely. So I spent a bit of time doing a setup on it. And what I found is, you know, bringing the action down, tweaking a couple of things on the setup actually made it a much, much nicer guitar. And it's always very hard to describe with these things. First of all, it's got a totally different neck profile. 50s profile, I would say, rather than 60s. Much chunkier. Feels more in line, like slightly chunkier than my Les Paul Junior, I would say, which sits somewhere between a 50s and 60s profile. This is a bit chunkier, a bit rounder. So I'd say much more like a 50s profile. The other weird thing about it is the actual body shape is different. You know,
body shape?
Yeah, when you play like a Gibson hollow body, have you noticed that on the neck pickup, the body sort of dips down into the neck a bit?
Yeah.
You've noticed that, Matt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and the pickup surround kind of sticks up. It's quite pronounced.
This is different because it's the P90s, so they're like, you know, mounted onto the body itself. So the Unsung guitar doesn't do that actually at all. It doesn't really dip down into the neck. And that is kind of how I remember the Epiphone guitars being, and I think that is the kind of template. But the Peerless one does do that, and it's hard for me to describe, and, you know, no pun intended, but it feels a lot more, the playing experience and the build feels a lot more authentic, that's kind of taken on a bit of a weird connotation. But the actual guitar itself just feels a bit more robust and it's definitely louder. Acoustically, it's louder. Actually, I would say that it's quieter when it's plugged in. It's a lot more refined almost. Like you've got
That's what you want. You don't want loud, aggressive pickups, not from Isle of Body.
I don't know really. I don't really know what I wanted. It was just really curious to see the difference between these two guitars that effectively, you know, are the same model. But the build is very, very different. Like I said, the neck profile is very different. There's changes to the body. The overall feel is just different. And by no means, you know, I think other players could definitely have both of those guitars next to each other and they could definitely pick the Unsung one. The Unsung one is still a fantastic guitar. It's just very different. And it's been really interesting to see just how different those two could be. And I kind of feel like I'm a bit of an expert now on these two guitars, but you know, there's other factories as well that these Korean Epiphone casinos have come out of. So, yeah, I think there's still a lot more to learn. I'm going to keep the natural one. I'm going to keep the 2004, the Peerless one. I just feel it's like a better guitar, and actually, the extra volume acoustically works for me because I mostly play guitar, you know, not plugged in, particularly at the moment where like space in the living room is like a little bit premium because, you know, we're both working from home and I can't always have the amp plugged in and, you know, I don't want some of my neighbors who are also working from home. So I'm playing a lot acoustically and the natural one is a lot louder. So yeah, I mean, I don't know really what my conclusion is apart from I prefer the natural one, but other people might prefer, you know, the Unsung one, slimmer neck.
Interesting. I pipped you to go for aesthetics and go for the Sunburst, which you said before you started this that was your preferred finish for this.
Definitely.
I've always thought the casinos look better in natural.
Personally, I would prefer the Sunburst, and I've seen some examples of the Peerless ones in Sunburst and they look amazing. Even maybe just, you know, a little bit nicer than this Unsung one that I've got. Obviously hard to judge from a picture, but yeah, I mean, I totally didn't expect to walk away with the natural one. What I was kind of thinking was like, oh, they'll basically be the same. I'll take the Sunburst one because I prefer the look of it, and I know that the Peerless one fetches more money resale value wise, so I'll probably sell the Peerless one, but I just can't put the Peerless one down. It just feels the chunkier neck is better for me. The fact that it's louder acoustically is better for me. And it's got a more, it's so hard to put into words, but it's like it's got a more refined tone. Like you have to just like work a little bit harder on the amp and on the guitar to get it to drive. And it's got a less compressed sound to it. It's a more sonically interesting guitar, I would say. But all these things are obviously subjective. If you want something that, you know, is a bit more compressed sounding and, you know, is a bit more aggressive, then the Unsung one would be better for you, I would say. So yeah, I've ended up with a nice guitar and someone else is going to end up with a nice Sunburst one. I've had to buy another guitar stand. That's the ultimate conclusion, is there's now another guitar that I've got no room in a
what
case
stand,
for.
What stand brand have you got?
Oh, always Hercules. Always the old GS402, is it? Or 420?
Is that the tiny little collapsible
yeah,
ones?
Yeah, the little collapsible
ones. Those are the
ones.
I like those ones as well.
Not the 402B.
Yeah, 402B. That's the one, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so yeah, I've had to buy some more.
402A was for acoustic guitars, yeah. If I remember correctly.
Why was it B?
I have a lot of those. I've got
because
like four
A
of those.
Stands for acoustic guitar,
and B stands for electric guitar.
I think there was that. I think was there GB, and then
that,
B.
That makes sense.
You can only use those for British guitars,
right?
I'm going to Google it.
Exciting.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to a good few weeks where I don't have to buy another guitar now and then
a few weeks
and then bored and buy something else.
Did it come with a hard case? Because those Epiphones actually shipped with hard cases.
It did. It came with a non Epiphone hard case because I remember the Epiphone hard cases actually back in the day being like a bit pony. They were just like kind of wooden. And yeah, this came with like a freestyle hard case, which to be honest, I'm probably not going to keep because I generally don't like hard cases. I think what I'd rather do is ship.
What?
I just don't. Like, why do I need a hard case? I've got no room for a hard case in the house. And I'm not going to take it out anywhere in a hard case.
I still have one of your Hiscock's hard cases in my cupboard at home.
Well, yeah, because I just don't need it. Like, the gigs I'm going to do, I'm going to be able to take it in a gig bag. I don't even play guitar when I do gigs. I play bass. So yeah. It's not going to go out in a gigging way, probably. I sort of feel like if you're not gigging, the only reason you need a hard case a lot of the time is if you've got young kids and you don't want them to, you know, get into your guitars or, you know, play with your guitars or whatever. That's generally the only reason. If you're primarily playing at home, why would you need a hard case other than that?
I mean, they do make a great noise when you open them.
Oh yeah, but, you know,
there's no comparison between, okay, you're opening your gig bag, or you're opening your hard case. Clunk.
I do like a premium gig bag though. Like,
but
I would
love
your
guitar's nitro finished as well. You know, you lock that smell in.
That's true. Locking in that freshness.
To lock in the smell. I do like a premium gig bag though. Maybe I'll get a premium like hollow body gig bag. I'll spend
get
like
a mono.
Yeah, like 150 quid or something.
Get a mono. I've got a mono slip. And that is the best gig bag I've
probably
ever
want
bought.
To see the doctor about that.
I'm just gonna let it go, but yeah,
it's very good. I like the mono grey. There's something very premium about it. You know, Shergo would also do really nice soft cases that I believe you can buy separately that are obviously suitable for any guitar, so you don't just have to have them for Shergo. But they are rather
probably
nice.
Not for like 335 size, right?
Well, look, can I fit my Dean Dymo flange in a
always a Gator Extreme.
Gator
for
Extreme,
that.
Gator that Extreme,
the only gig bag that ever fitted. It's sort of a bit like Guess Who. It's like, does it fit a Fender Strat? No. Does it fit a hollow body? No. Is it a Gator Extreme?
They just cornered the market because, like, none of the premium, you know, premium brands for like gig bags and stuff are generally aimed at your sort of blues dad, you know,
well,
Strat.
Also, premium players don't play, you know, sort of flying Ks.
Well,
it's quite a specific part, like, demographic of people that play that
to,
sort of shape.
Tell
guitar.
That to Michael Schenker.
There's high-end stuff out there, but yeah, I mean, you know,
I mean, they come with cases, but you know,
that's... I would say that your premium brands are generally going after your Strats, Tellys, Les Pauls, and Gator were the only company that just went, do you know what, we're just going to make one case that fits anything that you've got that is massive, and they must have sold hundreds of thousands of them because there was no other case.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, speaking of guitars.
Do it.
I want to talk about Reverend guitars quickly because, of course, recently we managed to get hold of one of the Merchant City Music exclusive Reverend Jetstream 390s in foam shrimp pink. Oh, it even sounds good to say. But yeah, like a wonderful finished guitar that, you know, I mentioned a few weeks back on the podcast when, you know, I finally got to play it, like set up to perfection out of the box, whether that was sort of Reverend or Merchant City Music. I don't know, but it was, an absolutely incredible playing guitar. Everything about it was wonderful. The Jetstream 390 is, I guess, the more everyone's more accustomed Reverend shape, so a sort of quite a angled 50s bound style.
It's their classic shape, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the classic sort of Reverend shape. Yes, I guess that with three P90 pickups in a version of shell pink. With a lovely sort of cream top binding and a gorgeous baked maple neck and board, it sounded completely fantastic. And for my first time up close, I'm reiterating what I said before now, but for my first time up close with a Reverend, really, and spending some time on it, I was like, oh, I can't believe they're selling these for £800, which is the roughly what they go for in shops. I can't believe that's the sort of going rate for them. They are absolutely incredible guitars. But anyway, we've had to send it back this week because the Jetstream 390 in foam shrimp pink was a Merchant City Music exclusive, which they got in just as we started talking about those Jetstream 390s, and it is now the last one, so it's had to go back up to Merchant City. So listener, if you've checked out this guitar and you've seen how good it is, this is now, and of course, you know, I've sent this back on the Monday when we record. The podcast doesn't come out until the Wednesday.
It might already be gone.
Yeah, it might well already be gone. But if you were thinking about it at all, I honestly couldn't recommend it highly enough. They're obviously coming a couple of other great colours, but if you want to get it in Guitar Nerds pink, then this is literally your last chance to get this incredible Reverend. Matt, how are you getting on with your single pickup version of the Jetstream?
They are just incredible guitars. Like, we've said it before, and we've talked about Reverend a lot, but just going on your thing of the setup, I think the great thing about Reverend is everything that comes out of the factory goes back to Reverend for another setup. So, you know, everything is just fully checked. It just means that everything that goes out into the big wide world is just, you know, flawless. And they just, I think... a guy that I work with said it best when we tried them at the Birmingham Guitar Show, and he was playing the one that I've got, and was just like,
"What's the one that you've got?"
So again? I've got the Matt West Signature, which is the same body shape but just with a one single P90. And he was just like, "Yeah,
you've still got a trem, right?"
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
I keep interrupting.
Yeah, it's but, yeah. And he was just like, "Yeah, it's like a $2,000 guitar, right?" I was like, "No, they're like, I think it was $799 or $699." She's just like, "It's unbelievable for the money." But yeah, the trem is a masterpiece, the very claw trem, because it does like extreme trem movements, but because you've got really good locking tuners on there, it never goes out of tune. You can almost dive bomb on it. It's like having a Floyd Rose without the hassle of having a Floyd Rose. But yeah, just brilliantly built guitars. And I didn't realize until we were at the Birmingham Guitar Show and talking to Ken, who is the one of the main people there, the brand's like 25 years old.
Yeah,
they've been going for ages. I had no idea, because they only came on our radar, you know, within the last sort of 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Well, it was probably the Smashing Pumpkins fella.
Yeah, that was the first one we did, wasn't it? The Billy Corgan signature.
Billy Corgan, thank you. Yeah, it was probably that was the first time that we kind of paid attention to. Or, he's had
No, go on, sorry.
I was just going to say, it's probably the first time that they kind of came onto our radar, as you say, yeah.
Yeah, he's had a couple of fantastic signature models from them now, because I remember when we got that first one, I was like, yeah, this one's not really for me, which is maybe why, you know, I guess Reverend didn't win that sort of first year that we were talking about the guitars on Gear of the Year.
Told you he should have done.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I said yeah, all I know, along, I know, these guitars but, are great.
But since then, Billy Corgan's had a short scale single humbucker in the bridge version of that guitar as a Reverend signature model. And I'm like, yeah, now that, yeah, I'm now in, I am into this. This is very cool.
That is a very, very cool guitar. Is it tuned A to A or no, G to G?
Yeah. It's so good. That's so cool. But, you know, I mean, you know, obviously Reverend recently sponsored the podcast. So listeners, if, you know, if you're listening to this on the advertising version, you will hear me talk about that the sort of range of artist models. But it's incredible that they have such a broad range of artist signature models sort of available alongside all their regular stuff. There's just such a fantastic broad palette of really interesting stuff, because that's kind of the thing about artist signature models, is when you're making a regular guitar, you're either making it for a genre, or you're making it to be versatile. And when it comes to artist stuff, you get all these wonderful weird quirks that you don't necessarily see elsewhere. You know, so I really think Reverend do a fantastic job of that. And the fact that they've probably got, I don't know, 25, 30 plus signature models available in their range, just there's, you know, something for everyone. Great range.
Absolutely.
Yes. Anyway, we should. Where are we in the podcast? Let's do some news. Let's do some news stuff. Here's the jingle.
News.
Why I keep saying here's the jingle just before I play the jingle. I've done it every week for like the last 5 or 6 weeks. It didn't seem like a very sensible thing to do. I don't know why.
I like it. Announce what you're going to do next.
Yeah, it's not really very professional. Like, the idea of having a jingle is quite professional.
It's there as a transition. Yeah.
It's you know, I'm saying it for myself when I'm editing so that I know to put the jingle in there.
Leaving it in. I like it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I should cut that out. Anyway, let's talk about some news. Exciting news, even though it was, you know, unfortunately leaked 4 months ago, but exciting news that we finally got it on the shelves, available to buy, and all the information is officially released about it. The new Squire Paranormal range of guitars. My goodness, everyone. Have you all been able to check out these guitars?
The thing is, you said it was leaked, and I don't remember it at all. And so when I got the announcement, I was like, wow, this is like the best thing ever.
I think that says more about this year, the fact that we can't remember anything that happened at NAMM, because there's so much stuff has happened. That feels about 4 years ago that NAMM happened. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. To be honest, I didn't remember any of these guitars either. So this has all been pretty fresh for me, and it's, you know, it's wicked, as you'd imagine. That's my opinion.
An incredible range. So we're looking at, we've got 6 guitars and 1 bass guitar. Well, I guess 5 guitars, 1 baritone and 1 bass guitar available in this range. And obviously by the name, listener, you know, but by the name Paranormal, they're going after a similar sort of vibe to the Parallel Universe and some of the other ranges.
You say that, but actually I'm not sure that's quite true, because a lot of these guitars are guitars that have existed in the past. Whereas
that's right.
You know, Parallel Universe.
All of them.
Not quite all of them. I think they're not quite all of them. I actually think it's quite muddy. I think it's quite a muddy range. It seems like there's like some things that are just reissues or virtually, and some things that really should have been part of the Parallel Universe range. It's kind of like it's a bit of a broad church, as Jay
would
say.
I like it. It's like,
that's not a criticism. Yeah, this is the best thing Squire have ever done. I mean, Jay, why don't you sort of take us through talk us through your favourites.
Guitar Nerds is brought to you in association with Faith Guitars. Based right here in the UK, Faith Guitars are designed by British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle, who has been hand-building guitars for decades for some of the biggest names in the business. Founded in 2002, Faith Guitars have been voted the UK's best acoustic guitars 5 times in a row by both the public and panels of music industry experts, so you can be confident in your new Faith guitar. Like all quality acoustics, Faith guitars are made of all solid tone wood, so you can be sure they'll start off sounding great and improve year on year. Faith don't use laminated woods, but you'll be pleased to know that despite the all solid tone woods, the superb specification and handmade construction, Faith guitars are still affordable, with prices starting at around £450 or $600. Discover the range at faithguitars.com and then visit one of the many UK or European retailers to try them for yourself. But hold up. If you're in the USA or Canada, you can buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com. And by using the coupon code NERDS at the checkout, you can get an exclusive 10% discount. So in the UK and Europe, check out the guitars at your local dealer or faithguitars.com. But for North American listeners, buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com and use the coupon code NERDS for a special 10% off at the checkout. That's USA coupon code NERDS at the checkout. Faith Guitars, award-winning acoustics designed right here in the UK. One of the most popular Ernie Ball Music Man models, the John Petrucci Majesty, is being expanded with four brand new striking finishes. Now offered in Pink Sand, Red Phoenix, Smoked Pearl, and Ember Glow, the 2020 Majesty features a lightweight Akume body, signature DiMarzio Rainmaker and Dreamcatcher pickups, and an onboard piezo bridge system that gives the guitar a focused and highly versatile palette of tones. Head to music-man.com to learn more. That's music-man. Now, back to the show.
Well, okay. Well, I think maybe we should go through the entire range, really, and then talk about favourites. So, in terms of things that have been out before, I guess really where you're looking is like a reissue of the Cyclone. So.
Yeah!
The Cyclone, which is a very weird guitar in itself, but it has been, you know, there was a run of Cyclones in the 90s, I guess. I don't know if there's been any.
Early 2000s. I
really?
Nearly bought one in the, because they did one in graffiti yellow in the early 2000s.
Okay.
I very nearly bought one.
So there was it was actually a whole bunch of guitars. So there was Cyclone 1, 2, and 3, from what I can remember.
Did they have different numbers of pickups?
Exactly, or? That, and different types of pickups as well. So yeah, you had, I think the original one was a humbucker in the bridge and a Strat single coil in the neck.
Right, okay.
I think the one with three Strat single coils, I'm just quickly Googling. I think the one with three Strat single coils was the Cyclone 3.
Right, well, that would make sense. But yeah, so that's what this is. So you've got three Strat single coil pickups, but sort of off at a jaunty angle. So not at the normal angle that you would expect. More angled up towards so that the bass end of the pickup is closer to the neck and the treble end is closer to the bridge.
So like the bridge pickup on a...
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So you've got those three with three on-off switches for each of the pickups. It comes in a Mustang body with a Strat tremolo. 24.75 inch scale. So
that's
totally weird.
Yeah, totally weird. That's the official line from Fender on this model as well, that the Cyclone is in name is an embodiment of the whirlwind of parts that make up this guitar. Because of course,
they did there.
Mustang body, Strat pickup, Strat bridge, Jaguar controls. You know, short scale. It's a little bit of everything.
And of course, we are missing out the most important factor of this guitar, which is it comes in shell pink.
Yes.
So you don't even need to refinish it because it's already there. So yeah, you can get this in shell pink or in Daphne blue, both of those with a Indian laurel fretboard.
Yeah. Just to clarify an earlier statement, there was actually only two models, Cyclone 1 and Cyclone 2, but there was also something in the middle, which was Cyclone HH. So it originally started
what was that
as...
Then?
Thanks, Jay. It was, originally the first one, original Cyclone is atomic humbucker in the bridge and then Strat pickup in the neck. Then you've got the HH, which is, I believe, two atomic humbuckers. And then, yeah, the third one is actually, they're not Strat pickups, are they? They're Jaguar pickups in there.
These are Strat pickups.
These are Strat
hang
pickups
on. No,
in
yeah,
this
these,
one.
Oh, I don't know on the original one because they've got... They're not like rounded off. They are like square. So I think they might be Jaguar pickups, you know.
Ooh, very weird.
Yeah, no, they look, the original ones look different to the modern one. I think These are Jaguar pickups. Yes, they are, because they've got the like metal teeth that go down the side.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, they are Jaguar pickups in the original.
So Strat in these ones.
Yeah.
So, moving on, actually keeping on board with the Atomic Humbucker. Which
I was wondering if you'd do that segue. Yeah.
Well, there you go, Joe. That was just for you. The Atomic Humbucker actually is something that you used to see quite a lot, but that seems to have kind of fallen out of favour a little bit. I don't know whether it's just because... like the Shawbuckers have been so popular that they've kind of taken over as the de facto pickup in.
It's similar in looking, isn't it? The Shawbucker, it's that that black and white, that zebra.
Finish. Well, yeah, I mean, if you're saying it looks like a humbucker, then I would agree wholeheartedly. Yeah,
I think what Joe is saying is that both are available as a zebra combination.
I see.
Oh,
I see,
thought
yes.
That's how they just came. I thought all the Shawbuckers were like that.
No. There are some that are chrome covered. But yes, carrying on from that, there is a reissue of the Toronado. So the Toronado, again, originally came out in, well, this was the 90s. This was originally 1998. And this is, it's a very strange body shape to describe. I guess it kind of looks like a Jazzmaster that's just a little bit more bulbous. Jazzmaster.
It's like... it's sort of, in a weird way, the top half is offset and the bottom half is like not like an offset guitar.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that, like the treble side near the bass strap button, like isn't offset. It's like rounded off.
This for me is like Fender's Gibson. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, it's like a double humbucker. It has two volume controls and two tone controls. It's just a big, meaty, you know, aggressive, shorter scale guitar. Like, it fulfills those sorts of requirements. People who want a big, fat sounding guitar. The Toronado has always done that.
I guess, looking at when it came out in 1998 originally, it would have been in a kind of transition time from when people were like coming out of like grunge era. So they were looking at offset guitars, but also we were sort of transitioning into like new metal. And if you think about it, this is kind of perfect segue between those two. It's got two high output humbuckers. And, you know, no trim and stuff, so you could do down tuning and stuff like that, but it's still got the Jaguar Jazzmaster shape, kind of.
I think the Toronado is fantastic. I think it's a massively underrated Fender guitar.
Well, I guess it's just one of those things that wasn't really available for very long. So,
no, I guess so.
It's, you know, but it does seem weird that when the vintage modified guitars came out in whenever that was, 2010 or something, or 2011, you know, that was just the Jaguar and the Jazzmaster. And I think the Mustang maybe came slightly after, or maybe that was at the same time. But it seems weird that the Toronado kind of didn't keep pace with those. But I guess it just wasn't as... it didn't have kind of the kind of historical importance of those other three guitars, you know, because it only came out in 1998, and it's as opposed to the 60s or the 50s even for the Mustang. This is really cool, really interesting. So you can get it in Lake Placid blue with a torque guard or black with a black guard. Very, very cool, weird looking guitar. On a similar offset note, there is a budget version of the offset Telecaster.
This is super exciting.
This is really cool. Yeah, this is very, very cool. So Offset Telecaster is a guitar that kind of other people have called like the Telemaster. Yeah, so it's basically a Telecaster in the body shape of a Jazzmaster. So you've got tele pickups, you've got a tele control plate, but then you've got a Telecaster neck. And Telecaster headstock, but on the Jazzmaster body. And the people who listen to this podcast know I had one of the American Standard offset tellies, which came out in 2014 or 2015, I think it was. And that was part of the 10 for 15, so maybe it was 2015. And in the interim period, there was also a Japanese version of this, which I think was Mahogany. And that was really cool, really interesting. So the fact that there's now a like a very, very budget-friendly version available is just... It looks so cool, and it comes two great colors as well. So you've got you've got it in surf green, or you've got it in natural, and the natural looks good.
It's like that antique natural that Fender just started doing in the player series.
Well, so I think it's actually it's a Kume, the body,
right,
on the natural one. Which is a like a bodywood that we've talked about a couple of times. The time that we've talked most about it was with, and we'll get onto those in a minute, but at GAC, when we all worked there, there were a few Cabernetas that came through made of Akume bodies, and they were so nice. And yeah, this Akume, it's like a really rich mahogany. It looks fantastic. So that in particular is the one I've really got my eye on. I mean, I sold my offset telly, I guess maybe it was back end of last year, and I'm already thinking I shouldn't have done it. So,
well, these are $399. Like, yeah. there is no good reason not to own one. Everything in this range is either poplar or Akume as a note,
right.
I think. In this range, which are great woods.
So carrying on with the Cabernetas, so there is the Cabernet is a weird guitar. So originally, if I remember correctly, it came out of the custom shop, and then there was a Mexico version, there was an American version, and then there was also a Squire version. And this is kind of like the original ones that came out, but it is a thin line version, there were a short run of Squire thinline Cabernetas that were very popular, but this has actually got Jazzmaster pickups in.
Which has been pointed out, I can't remember who, a listener maybe on Instagram or something, pointed out like that they kind of feel that the bread and butter of the Cabernet is the fact that you get the Fidelitron TV Jones style pickups, and you just have a volume control with no tone. And of course, that's what they've changed here. You've got two Jazzmaster pickups, and they've added a tone now.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's kind of I guess it sort of sits in the idea of it being paranormal.
I wonder if it's something to do with the body shape. I wonder if there's a particular contour or carve that makes the Cabernet more of a Cabernet than
I don't
a
think
telly.
So I think it is just a double like humbucker telly, essentially, or double TV Jones telly.
I guess the idea behind them was that they always were brash and loud, and you know, having Jazzmaster pickups in there is definitely not going to be any less brash and loud than having those Gretsch pickups.
No.
So yeah, that to me still kind of sticks to the root of the regular or what they were going for with the original Cabernet.
Incredible color range with these as well.
Yeah, so these are available in Olympic White, which is,
Is it Olympic? I thought it was vintage.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Olympic. Oh, Olympic White with a black guard, or Fiesta Red with a parchment guard.
That red looks amazing.
It really
does.
That
is the coolest thing I've ever heard. I just needed to hear you say it. That is incredible. $399 as well.
And then there are a couple more, so I'll just blitz through these real quick. So,
dare you?
This is probably the one.
Well, can I, Jay, quickly before you go on to that? So, just quickly, Cabernita is Spanish slang for little bastard or little devil.
Yes.
So, basically, Cabernita guitars are sort of screwed around versions of Telecasters.
Yes.
So, anything that is classed as a Cabernita is. But Fender are basically just reading here from another article that came out. That basically, anything that they do that isn't two single coils or a humbucker in the neck and a single coil in the bridge, like a 52, they're sort of saying
can
be a Cabernet of some sort.
I think it's my favorite version of a Telecaster, the Cabernet. I think it's the coolest thing Fender maybe have ever done in my
That
opinion.
Red one is something special, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. These look amazing.
Yeah.
So moving on to the supersonic, which again,
you need to continue the Cabernet thing.
Well, I suppose I could do that, but I feel like that was okay. Well, I'll do that now because that is, you know, you've sort of ruined it now, Joe. Unfortunately,
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I feel like the baritone Cabernet, which is the other Cabernet that's available, is probably the one that's going to have our listeners the most excited.
Oh my
I would have thought so.
I hope Fender have made enough of these. Like this is. Because it's only available in one colour as well.
Yeah, so it's you only get it in black. So this is a 27-inch scale length. And this has got like P90s on rather than the Jazzmaster pickups. And it's not hollow body. It's not thin line. This is just going to be... I mean, this is they look so good. They look good. It looks really classy. It's a great way to be able to get like a really nice baritone sound from a finish and a style that you would recognize. And I just think this is going to be so popular. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely gorgeous. Every single guitar in this range comes with the same slim C-shaped neck profile and a gloss finish on the back of the neck. So you still get that sort of retro feel.
The baritone doesn't come with the same neck.
No, but it's still the same neck profile. Shape. Same profile and same gloss finish as well. So everything
gotcha.
Kind of, you know, just sometimes the Squires, I guess, come in sort of like maybe an unlacquered finish, which I guess sometimes can feel cheap for me in comparison to when you get satin finish necks on premium guitars. But when you gloss something, you know, everything kind of feels the same at any price point. So I'm glad that they've done it with this range. That's more for me personally than anything else. But yeah, very cool.
So just to blitz through the last couple, there is, as I mentioned before, a supersonic. So for people who don't know what a supersonic is, I mean, I can describe it, but you're still going to need to go and look it up. Basically, it's like a backwards Jazzmaster with an upside down neck. So like, is it like a reverse Jazzmaster and a reverse Jazzmaster neck, I guess.
So it's an upside down guitar.
It's basically an upside down guitar, yes. and that again has got two atomic humbuckers. One is angled really quite aggressively angled, actually.
The opposite way,
yeah, down towards the bass end. And that comes in ice blue metallic or graphite metallic, which is a bit
and of course this is
one.
A guitar that Nick Reinhardt popularized and has been playing, the old Squire Vista series of the Supersonic is something that he's been playing for years in sparkle blue, and he's got a sparkle silver one, and I think is one other color as well. I can't remember what the other color is.
Is it orange? I think there was orange ones at some point. Oh, maybe really? The orange ones were the reissues. I'm not sure. The thing that's really interesting about the Supersonic actually is it's got a really narrow nut width.
Yeah.
So the neck goes, well, the nut width is 1.5 inch, which is, I mean, that's same very, as, very small.
That's the same as a jazz bass at the nut, 1.5.
Is it?
That's what jazz basses go to. And if you think a jazz bass only has four strings and they're pretty close together at the nut, you know?
Yeah. Well, speaking of jazz basses, Joe, funny you should bring those up. because actually, probably the weirdest of the guitars in the Paranormal range is the 54 jazz bass. And for people who are, you know, paying attention, you'll say, hang on, Jay, the jazz bass didn't come out until 1960 or maybe 1961 or maybe 59, depending on who you're asking. depending on who you're asking. I mean, if you're asking me, I'd say 59. If you're asking Joe, then you might get a different answer.
61.
I don't know. Who knows? But the Paranormal 54 jazz bass basically reimagines what the jazz bass would have been like if it had been released in 1954 as opposed to 1959.
Isn't that more a parallel universe sort of idea
to
the others?
Totally, I think it really is, but I think it's just, you know, it's a fun little quirk, a little spin on the idea.
That's
so basically
why it's Paranormal, Joe. It could be anything. Think of the X-Files. It wasn't just aliens, was it? There was like time travel. There's all
on,
sorts
hang
of
on.
Weird
I don't know. I've like, only just started the X-Files, so I'd appreciate if you don't give me any spoilers.
The only thing I cared
first
about
series, great. Everything else, Don't worry about it.
No, what are you talking about? It was fantastic. Gillian Anderson was in all of it, which I was very excited about as a young man. And David Duchovny's hairstyle. I literally, the amount of hair products I got through trying to mimic that as a boy.
It's, I tell you what, it, I can't believe I've waited so long to watch it. It's so good. It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, we can talk. That's for another podcast. The 54 jazz bass, really cool. Basically, it's got the aesthetics of like a 51 P bass or a 54 P bass, I guess, because it's the 54 jazz bass. So you've got the butterscotch body with the kind of reverse pick guard, but you've still got the pick guard that goes up as opposed to down. But you've still got the two jazz bass pickups, and it's got all the contours of a 54. 4P, yeah, 54P bass.
Well, it's, yeah, all the contours of a jazz, I guess. But oh yeah, it, I don't know actually.
Well,
I,
but before 54, the P bass. Before 54, the P bass was a slab, right? So it's got
that's
the
right. Yeah.
The contours only came in 54, I think. So yeah, really cool, really interesting, really weird series, and like you say, they're all super cheap. So yeah, I mean, I personally, I've got my eye on the
concentric stack pot controls, by the way, also on
Joe,
the
we've stopped talking about the bass, mate.
Okay, fine.
We've
moved on. I'll leave
the personally, I've got my eyes on the offset telly.
Okay,
and maybe the baritone.
Okay, so you're probably telly. Matt Knight, what would you buy from this range?
I would like the Cabronita.
Which one?
The normal one, the non-baritone one. Actually, I would like the baritone one.
No, you can only pick one.
If I could only pick
one. I pick two.
I only listened to your first one, Jay.
If I could only pick one, just because I love pink guitars, I'd probably have the Cyclone.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's dead cool. I think that guitar
Cyclone
is
very cool.
And it's different to anything else I've got. Which...
It's so unique. The Cyclone is so unique. Mark Packham.
Almost certainly the Cabronita Thin Line, because as we know over the last couple of weeks, I've decided I'm only playing hollow body guitars now because they just sound better.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's a very legitimate answer. I'm going to go with you on that as well, the Cabronita Thin Line for me, although I think I prefer the white to the Fiesta Red. As cool as the Fiesta Red is, it's a little bit too bling for me. But
you're
the,
wrong. You're so wrong. The Fiesta Red looks amazing.
A guitar should look like a part of you rather than it overtaking you. You know what I mean? Like a guitar should sit with your look.
I mean, it's Fiesta Red, Joe. It's not like it's like, you know... a luminous green or whatever.
I think Fiesta Red's too bold. Like when I see people playing Fiesta Red guitars, I'm like, all I can see is the guitar. I'm focusing on the guitar. I think some people have made it work sort of, you know, over the time. Like
Hank Marvin.
I wasn't going to say Hank Marvin. I was going to say
Name
Gary Moore.
One.
I was trying to think of one. Gary Moore. I was going to say Gary
didn't
Moore.
He didn't play Fiesta Red. His guitar
was
Dakota Red.
No, it was Fiesta Red over Dakota Red.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
That's up. True. That's true. That's true.
No, up. It's not true.
100%. Do you know why? Because I'm currently doing top 10 most iconic strats. And so I had to hunt out articles on Gary Moore's Stratocaster, and of course Gary Moore
is famous. Fiesta Red.
It's Fiesta Red. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. His 61 Strat was Fiesta Red, but you know, an interesting.
I don't believe you at all.
No, Jay, you are right, because a fun fact about Gary Moore's Fiesta Red Strat is that actually it is Dakota Red.
I know. I said it was Dakota Red.
No. But it was refinished in Fiesta Red because
I don't count refinishes.
No, he never refinished it. When guitars were coming into the UK in the 60s,
more tax on Dakota Red.
Well, no, simply because of the how popular Hank Marvin was at the time. These were called, they were known as Selma refinishes. So guitar shops that were getting in Strats in any color, whatever color they came in, were refinishing themselves
Really?
Their,
is that
in
true?
Copies of Fiesta. Absolutely true. It was an incredible story that I found out, basically, because Fiesta Red was the most popular color. And of course, how does a customer find out? It was the first time in the 60s, it's the first time we're importing guitars from America. You're not going to be able to find out that guitar was originally Sunburst unless you chip a load of the finish off. And because the UK shops knew that they could sell Fiesta Fiesta Red Strats, you know, 5-1, what they could a Sunburst or Dakota Red, you know. So they just, when they came in, popularly known as Selma refinishes, they would refinish them in Fiesta Red. And so, yes, the Gary Moore was, in fact, Dakota Red. And after he'd obviously played it for some time, it eventually looked like a lot of the Dakota Red coming through. But essentially, it is a rip-off of Fiesta Red on top because the paint's obviously British. But it was, there you go.
How about that? I stand corrected.
There you go. I tell you what, I did this top 10, and I don't think, because Gary Moore is known for so many guitars, from, you know, like Firebirds to Les Pauls, it's hard to sort of, I can't obviously pitch it too high up for Gary Moore Fiesta Red 61 Strat, but it has one of the most interesting stories of a guitar. Just like, do you know, he played it at the 2004 Fender's 50th anniversary of the Stratocaster. They did a show at Wembley Arena, and he played Red House, and it's just like unbelievable. His solo work is just outrageous in that performance. But that's kind of, that for me was when I became aware of his Stratocaster, and that's certainly, I guess, one of the shows that was the most popular for him playing a Strat as opposed to sort of anything else. But one of the most interesting things about his Strat is that it very nearly wasn't Gary Moore's at all. It was supposed to be Greg Lake's from Emerson, Lake and Palmer. So a fellow was bringing down a handful of guitars to a studio where Emerson, Lake and Palmer were recording, and where Gary Moore happened to also be at the time. And Greg Lake was looking for a Stratocaster, and he brought down this 61 Fiesta Red Strat. And whilst Greg was, finishing up in the studio, Gary Moore was sat outside noodling around on the guitars, and he said it was acoustically the loudest guitar he'd ever played, and he absolutely loved it. But the guy was like, well, this is for Greg Lake, so you can't buy it. And then Greg Lake tried it and was like, oh, it's got too many dings on it for me.
It's a bit too loud.
It's too bashed up. Because it was 1981, so it was already an old guitar by this point, but it was too bashed up for Greg Lake. And he was like, nah, I want something that looks new. And so Gary Moore bought it on the spot. And I just thought, you know, it's such a legendary guitar, and it very nearly wasn't even, you know, part of Gary Moore's arsenal. But yeah, there you go. A little bit
very
of
interesting. How about that?
Yeah, really interesting. I've really actually enjoyed this researching Strats and trying to find out, you know, sort of more about the most iconic ones. But that certainly was one of the most interesting stories.
I tell you what, fellas, I think Joe's all right. I think maybe we should keep him around.
He's actually done something really interesting for once. Well researched. I mean, that could all just be nonsense.
Completely.
Absolute 10-minute rant of nonsense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I wouldn't put it past you to be able to do that, Joe. You've spun many a web.
No,
before.
Absolutely. I ate a bunch of mushrooms before I came on this podcast. So who knows what I'm even saying. Anyway, we are. Oh no, are we drawing close? We're
going to have to save the rest of the news for next week.
We are. There are some really exciting other news, but we are going to have to save it all for next week. So, apologies, listener. But next week it will be even more exciting. So get ready for that. So yes, you can enjoy an entire extra episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast every week over on our Patreon site. That's patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can also find that in the description of this podcast. This week we're continuing. It's the third episode of Mark Packham's new solo series, Gear There and Everywhere, where Mark is tracking down interesting, unique pieces of equipment that the Beatles used throughout their career. And he's talking about them more in depth and what those pieces of equipment were responsible for on various Beatles recordings. Very exciting. What were we talking about this week?
Epiphone Casinos. So I was going to talk about the Lucy Les Paul, but actually, like, as I was sitting playing those Casinos, I was like, do you know what? I just want to hear more sound clips, because I'm using a lot of kind of like Beatles isolated guitar tracks out of the Rock Band soundtrack and stuff, just to give like indications of like what these things actually sound like. And I was like, do you know what? I just really want to spend it. It takes me about a day to produce the episodes, and I was like, I just want to spend the entire day reading about casinos and listening to casinos and letting other people listen to casinos. So yeah, it's about the three Epiphone casinos involved with the Beatles.
Wow, fantastic. Very awesome. Now, to become a Patreon supporter, it costs only $1 a month and you can enjoy the podcast ad-free and early for that. But at the $5 tier, you can enjoy the extra episodes, currently Mark's series. Plus, you've got access to our entire back catalogue of mini-series. At the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer and enjoy all those benefits. Plus, you get the prestigious honour of having your name featured in our podcast outro song, sung by me. You can follow us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds, and please join our Facebook community at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you guys all said that at the same time. Let's go, Mark.
Yes.
In order. So. Matt.
Bye.
Jay.
Take it easy.
Oh, God damn it. Bellamy.